All right, our last session. Come on, Alex, give us some more. It hurts so good.
Vision is so removed from current reality that part of its distinctive characteristic is that it's crazy. It's a little bit crazy. Okay? And so, when you have a vision, you know the vision for EN, for victory. You want to break it down for your team. Okay? And vision is vision when it's kind of a little bit removed from current reality. If it's very near current reality, that's an objective. That's not a vision, you see. Vision is kind of hard to do and yet kind of doable. And so you can tell when a vision is a vision, there is tension between that and current reality. Okay? And most people, you see, if there is tension between vision and current reality, there are two solutions to relieve the tension, correct? One is lower the vision, which 99% of people do. And so when you do that, you join the biggest club on earth. It's the club of broken dreams, okay? And the majority of people live their lives without vision. Wag na lang, ang hirap eh. You see? Disciples in every campus, in every nation, our generation. Are you crazy? Just a little bit. But look, 238 countries, how many to go? 100 something? You know, when I joined Victory 5 years ago, there were only 26 missionaries. There are now 100. That's a fourfold increase. I mean, wow! If we do fourfold increase every 5 years, that's tremendous. Okay? But the beauty of a vision is you have to get used to the fact that people will think you're nuts. You see, that's why there are a few visionaries. Because we want to be accepted not as nuts, but as normal people. See, but I mean, Steve Jobs is a classic nut. He's a maniac in terms of attention to detail. And he drove people crazy. Was. I didn't know that. Oh, my goodness. Oh, all right. He was a maniac. Okay, so the trick is to get the energy, to harness the energy of that tension to develop creative solutions. Okay? Just be comfortable with that tension because the tension can be harnessed. There's a lot of energy. Can be harnessed to develop creative solutions. Okay, moon landing is one. Civil rights is another. Okay, all due respect to Steve Jobs, the precursor was the Walkman. And when Mr. Morita of Sony, chairman, said to his engineers, I want a music player that is small enough to put in my pocket. And I imagine the Japanese engineers in Sony might have gone like this. With all due respect, Morita-san, are you crazy?
A little bit.
Just a little bit, okay? There was no research for the Sony Walkman. He observed young people in America carrying what used to be called ghetto blasters. Can you imagine, young people, your predecessors used to carry huge things and they went like this, cool, man, yeah. I mean, how cool can you possibly be carrying your music? But that's what people did. And Mr. Morita said, that's it. People want their music personal and they want their music portable. So I want that. And because he insisted, the technology was not there. Morita-san, the technology, we can do transistor radio, eh? You know, but it's going to be that big. No, that's not cool enough. I want it in my pocket. Thus was born a Sony Walkman. Steve Jobs took that concept and digitized it. But the mother of it was Sony. Okay. And because someone was crazy enough to say, I want it. And he was right. So find a creative solution. My favorite local one is drawing a blank here. When you get your resident certificate, where you? NSO, yes, National Statistics Office. Okay. True story. Because one of the attendees in one of my seminars told us this in the seminar. When we were talking vision, she said the story was people were lining up in the NSO for weeks. People would take a boat from Mindanao, take a 15-hour truck bus ride from North Luzon to go to the NSO, fall in line for 3 days for a lousy birth certificate and not get it after 3 days. They've run out of hotel money. They're living with their relatives, and there's tension in the family already, you know, because... why are you still here? So they were cursing the frontline people of the NSO because of this. And so the frontline people complained to their supervisors and all the way up to the commissioner. And the commissioner that night, he went home and he said, I wished our data was computerized. And he sat up in bed. And in the next morning, he walks in. He was a changed man. He had a vision. He said, we will computerize our data, not only so that we can give people their birth certificates quickly, they will not fall in line. We will mail it to them. That was the vision. And all of the sub-bureaucrats looked at the commissioner and said, sir, with all due respect, are you crazy? You see? Sir, we have to go to the Congress to get a new charter. We have to get a budget. We have to change this law. We have to... all sorts of objections. He said, look, I want it. Let's do it. Well, you know what happened. My daughter needed to get her passport renewed. So I told her, Steph, you call this number. And she did. Just tell them who you are. Well, I'm Steph Castillo, daughter of Marilena, Alejandro Castillo, born on this date in this city. And they said, okay, Stephanie, get this number, go to a bank, any of these banks, and pay 180 pesos, whatever. And in 3 days, we'll send to you your new passport or birth certificate. And she said, okay. And she was telling me, and 3 days later, the certificate arrives. And she just took it for granted. And I told her, Steph, you have any idea what it took for you to take this service for granted? And you know what? I have a lot of hope for our country. If there are 50 more people like this NSO commissioner, this country will change overnight. Are you with me? Okay? Because he used the tension that was separating his vision from current reality to arrive at a creative solution. Okay? So... if you want to be effective people managers, you have to entrance your team with your vision. Okay? Almost hypnotize. But that vision had better be hypnotizing you first. Okay? Because people look to the leader and then accept the vision, not vice versa. Okay? All right. So that's structure. Let's go to session three. We're now on the third structural thing is job descriptions. Okay, you've got a mission. The purpose is clear. The direction is clear. Okay, we have a vision. Okay, our expectations clear, and expectations are defined by job descriptions. Okay. Are there clear job descriptions? Okay. The elements of a job description: basic purpose, principal account or principal or primary accountabilities, reporting relationship, decision-making authority, knowledge and skills required. Without a job description, people are left to decide on their own what they'll do to accomplish the mission or to achieve the vision. And without job descriptions, you can't tell who's supposed to do what. It will be chaos. There will be no accountability. Without job descriptions, people will not be able to focus their initiatives. Now, listen carefully. This is kind of enigmatic. Without job descriptions provide you boundaries. Okay? The box. Okay, I know we want people to think outside of the box, but that's not what I'm referring to. A job description, I know what is expected of me. Without the boundaries, there is no freedom. Because you can only tell people, okay, I'm going to release you because the boundaries are clear. You can do whatever you want within the box. And believe it or not, that's how people grow. If I know what's expected of me and I know what the boundaries are, I can have the freedom. You cannot delegate without job descriptions. Okay? It'll be chaotic. It'll be chaotic. And without job descriptions, how can you tell if people are doing their jobs or not? Okay? So a job description is like breaking down the purpose of the organization up to the level of the individual worker. Okay? I have a sample job description. I don't think it's in your... it's not there. Okay? Joseph... And the campus ministry group, we were in this conference room, and we drafted the job descriptions for the campus missionary. Okay, and some of this I've edited, some of this I've made up, but for template purposes, okay, basic purpose: so to make disciples of high school and college students by engaging, establishing, equipping, and ultimately empowering them to make God-honoring disciples themselves. Number two, to ensure that the disciple-making ministry in the assigned campus is perpetuated through the continuous development of discipleship-making students among all years or batches. Number three, to live and work, to honor God and be a good testimony of Lord Jesus so that others are inspired to do the same. So the first thing about the job description is what did the company or what did the organization invent this job for? What is it for? Okay. Primary accountabilities. Number one, to regularly visit the assigned campus, ensuring that a critical mass of time is spent on the four E's. I mean, if you're a campus missionary, you better be in the campus. Okay? So, it's the, what am I accountable for? I'm accountable for a campus. So, if disciples are to be made in that campus, I better be in the campus or around the campus. So, primary accountability number one. If you have a campus missionary who has not been to the campus in the last 6 months, duh. Okay, number two, to continuously create opportunities to engage students, faculty, school administration officials to make a way for the gospel to reach students and to disciple those who respond. Okay, I mean, that's a very ordinary thing. Number three, to ensure that the new student believer, when deemed ready, is connected to a local Victory Church by creating and or capitalizing on available bridging events and other opportunities. Then number four, to help the local church create opportunities for the new student believer to go to the 4E's by assisting in the church's youth-oriented activities and events. Number five, to identify and focus on potential leaders from the pool of new student believers and equip and empower them to return to the campus to form the next generation of disciple makers. Number six, to raise support and maintain good long-term relations with MDP partners. Number seven, to serve as a model of Christian love, purity, integrity, discipline, to students and others, and to perform other functions as directed by the campus director. Now, that's a catch-all. If 80%, as a campus missionary, if 80% of what you do is number eight, that's the fault of the campus director. Okay? If there is no job description, number eight is all you do. Now, the problem is this. God forbid, if the campus director disappears, what will you do now? Because the guy who's telling you what to do is no longer there. That's the purpose of a job description. It frees you from people. See, it perpetuates an idea so that anyone can take over, you see. So an organization cannot be killed because it's got institutionalized mission, vision, and job descriptions. Okay? Now, if you take basic purpose, primary accountabilities, reporting relationships, decision-making authority, and knowledge and skills required, if you take them and convert them into questions, okay? For example, what is the basic purpose of my job? Question number one. Will you write it down? What is the basic purpose of my job? Okay? Question number two. What are my primary accountabilities? What will I be blamed for? What is it that if I don't do it, it won't happen because I'm the only one who's supposed to do it? Yin a primary accountability. It's very closely related to basic purpose, by the way. And then, next, which we have not yet discussed, will you go back to the slide, reporting relationships? After primary accountability, Giselle, okay, it's reporting relationships. Who do I report to? This one, Joe, I just made this up. Directly reports to the regional campus director or his equivalent. Indirectly reports to senior pastor or youth pastor of the local Victory Church. So what is the purpose of my job? What am I primarily accountable for? Who do I report to? And by the way, who reports to me? Okay. And then next, decision-making authority. Okay. I made this up. Makes all discipleship-related decisions as well as initiatives specific to the assigned campus. Refers all decisions that have a financial impact or need specific authorization from the regional campus director or local Victory senior pastor. In other words, how many decisions can I make? In other words, what is the latitude of my decision-making authority? That's the question you ask. Okay? And finally, knowledge and skills required. What knowledge and skills, educational, etc., are needed for this job? College graduate, able to engage people one-on-one and communicate to small groups comfortably, able to engage teachers and school administrators effectively. I mean, without those skills, obviously, you cannot be a campus missionary. How can you be a campus missionary? I'm too shy to talk to anybody. Anything for you. Oh. You cannot talk. Anything for you. You have to talk. You see. So if you convert these compartments into questions, it's called a position questionnaire. Okay? It's a position questionnaire. What is the basic purpose of my job? What are my principal or primary accountabilities? Who do I? What are my direct reporting relationships? Who do I work for? Who works for me? What are my ano pangapat? The decision-making authority, and then knowledge required. Okay. Now, let me see how much time I have. I don't have time. What I wanted to do was to give you a hard time by giving you 5 minutes to do your own job description. But I will leave that to some other time. I will spare you the agony because I have. If we have more time after I deal with the material, we'll go back to it, okay? Because, you know, you must have a job description for you. Hey, by the way, when you draft it, that's not it. Your boss has to approve it. Okay? Et cetera, okay? And you have to have a job description for your people, okay? And the campus people have one for the campus missionaries. Okay, so we'll deal with that later. Let's continue. So we've got five structural things should be in place. One is, what's the first one?
Purpose.
Which is the?
Mission.
The second one? Direction, which is the? Vision, and you can break that down for your team. The third one? Expectations, which is?
Job
descriptions. The fourth one is standards. Is there a performance appraisal system? Okay, so people know what their jobs are, but are we appraising them? Are we telling them if they're doing a good job or a bad job? Why is that important? Well, because we want to be people managers. That's management. You have to be able to tell what's good and what's bad. Kanya ka manager eh. Kung hindi, eh, paano yun?
You see. So, elements of a performance appraisal system. What's the first one?
Of course. How can you have a performance appraisal if you don't have job descriptions?
Okay. Second one, annual and or multi-year goals. If you, what we did in the first session was an evaluation. Okay. In the first part, 50% was what? Performance evaluation. In the real world, that is broken down into 5 or 6 goals. For example, so one church wants to increase the number of leaders from 100 to 200. Okay? So, the senior pastor, that's probably one of his goals. Increase leaders from 100 to 200 by end of 2011. Okay, next goal. Next goal, fourth goal, etc., etc. So, yun yung performance evaluation, you must have, you and your boss must have goals not only for the team as a whole, but for each individual team member. Okay? And those goals are consistent with the overall goal of victory or the local church or the ministry. So, you have a job description, you have goals, individual goals, and then you have a performance appraisal form, which we'll deal with later, and a performance appraisal process. Let's go to the form first, okay? This is what we did earlier, okay? The elements of the form, number one, evaluation of performance results versus pre-agreed goals. That is what we did kanina, kaya lang, it was just one line because I didn't know your goals, eh. The first line kanina, which had a weight of 50%, correct? We're supposed to have 5 to 8 goals. You can't have 30 goals. I mean, you know, on an annual basis, 5 to 8 is probably good. Call it 5 to 10 if you want, all right? The reason for that is it focuses individuals. And as a result, it focuses the team to accomplish. So that it's very purposeful and very driven. The second is evaluation of work methods, which we did earlier. What we did not do earlier are 2 more parts of the performance appraisal form. One is development plans. Okay, so here is the performance of this individual. This individual will get a 3 on performance goals. And I will evaluate each goal, what percent of each goal was. I can evaluate each goal from 1 to 5. Okay, then I will get a rating for that performance. And then in terms of methods, I will rate the individual. Based on my rating, it will identify development needs. Okay? Because this person is weak in this area, okay, I'm going to develop this person in that area. Because this person does not meet these goals, and in our discussion, I realize there is a skill that he or she lacks, I will list that down. Okay? So, the third part is development plans. The HR people in corporations aggregate all of the development plans, and it forms the basis for the training and development program for the company. See, that's how you do it. And then employee comments and feedback. Okay, the one being rated must be given an opportunity to write down his or her feedback. He or she could say, "I agree completely," or "I agree partially, and I disagree with some of the ratings." I mean, by signing, the ratee, the person being rated, must sign, not necessarily to agree, but that the supervisor rated him or her. Okay? All right. So, we've got the form. What's the process? Okay? The performance appraisal process. Number one, there must be annual or multi-year goals. That's why you do strategic plans.
You do strategic plans. If you have a three-year plan, you break the goals by year. Year one, year two, year three. And for year one, this will be, let's say year one is 2012. Year one, these are our goals. You break it down by individual. Okay, so you need, the system presupposes goal setting. Okay, this is the management part of people management. It's hard work. See, this is what Maxwell and Dale Carnegie presume. This is structural. But without this, people management is a joke. You see, parang a country without laws. You see, okay. So the process: development of annual or multi-year goals, development of individual annual goals. You appraise once a year only, and except under exceptions, I will tell you later. And then the annual performance appraisal draft is reviewed and agreed with the evaluator supervisor. For example, if I'm rating Carlos and I report to Gigi, I have to do a draft of Carlos's appraisal. I will go to Gigi and say, "Boss, this is how I am appraising Carlos." And Gigi will look at it and say, "All right, I think you're being too tough on Carlos, or I think you're being fair." And Gigi and I agree. Gigi will check if I'm being biased, if I'm being abusive, okay, etc. Once my boss and I agree, I then sit down with Carlos. Okay? And I say, hey, don't mistake it. It's hard work. And it takes a lot of time. Okay? That's why I hate it. But I need to do it. Okay? So you sit down. I sit down with Carlos. And there are techniques. It's not me here and Carlos there. If it's the corner, I'm on the corner with Carlos. There has to be, what I do is I actually give Carlos the draft. And I say, "Carlos, 2 days from now or 3 days from now, let's meet." So he has time to digest, actually to agonize and to get hurt in private. So that by the time we meet, he's settled. It's a very good technique, actually. He's settled. And he's ready for feedback. Okay? And sometimes I'm challenged. And people tell me, "Alex, I think you forgot. You know, I did this." And I'm prepared to change my evaluation if the challenge is successful. Okay? So once I'm finished with Carlos, now it does not take 4 hours. I mean, it's probably half an hour to 45 minutes. Okay? Unless it's really bloody, it could take an hour. But it's finished. So he signs off. And he can sign off because he has had it for 1, 2, or 3 days already. Okay, and fine, he's off and it's finished. Okay, and we go to the next step, which is determination of compensation of adjustment or termination of employment, if any. We go to the next step. Okay, and we agree on developmental plans. What's happening here? I think I'm being too malikot. Okay. All right. Any questions? Joseph.
I think this is really helpful for us. I know that the HR department does this for administrative people, but for us, the campus can use it. Hello. All right. But for us in campus ministry, this is going to be very helpful. And I'm looking at some of the blank stares of some of the campus directors because a lot of this isn't in place yet. So this is very helpful for something to put into place. And I like what you said in the beginning where a lot of the leadership books assume that this is in place already. Because actually it's not so much a question but a comment. But for example, you read books like Good to Great where it says you have to have the right people on the bus before you move forward. But how do you know that this is the right person?
And like, take the wrong people off the bus.
Exactly.
How do you know which people to take off the
bus?
But
there's no way. And very often you have vague feelings or you have, but you could also be biased. So how do you do this in an unbiased, objective way that's fair to everyone involved? So I think this is really helpful. Thank you.
I gave to Carlos soft copy of an appraisal form if you want to adopt it. Because to me it's the most user-friendly. It's the one we use in Del Monte. Just take out the logo.
or you don't have to take out the logo, but you know, people may not like Del Monte being in their performance appraisal form. By the time I retired from Del Monte, I become an expert, and honestly, it has become a favorite activity because I realized what it does to people, and I sweated the comments. Because in the real form, so you got rating, no? Method 1, 2, 3, for example, and then there are lines there for comments. It's the commentary where you add your... You agonize in writing a commentary as balanced as you can to the individual. And people have told me, you know, Alex, I have collected all of your performance appraisals of me, and I review them every now and then, and suddenly I can't knock you for how you've appraised me. And so I realized the value of it, and so I'm sharing it with you. Whether you do it well or not is one thing, but you have to have it, you see.
I wanted to ask, because our organization is fast changing, fast paced, so within a year your annual goals could have ballooned and changed radically. How can you actually do a
very good question,
a very just appraisal,
very good question,
when in mid-year, you're changing your goals and stuff.
You take it into consideration when it happens in business. Okay, so we have let's say we have sales and profit goals for the year, and we establish them say in November of the prior year. In December of the incoming year, so the year's finished. Actually, it's in January when the numbers are in. We rate the individuals. But mid-year, there's what we call a mid-year review. When we tell ourselves, do we stay with our objectives or do we adjust upwards or downwards? Okay. And when there is a consensus that there should be an adjustment, that is, the goals are adjusted accordingly. So it's fair. It's fair. Okay. So... But just another aspect of that, if the goals keep changing, sometimes it's a symptom of poor goal setting. So because, folks, I'm telling you, if you don't sweat the planning, you'll have poor goals. You have to sweat the planning. And the more you sweat it, the better your goals will be. Okay, now, what do you do with the appraisal system? Okay. In Del Monte, we had a five point scale. Okay, unacceptable, needs improvement, good, very good, outstanding. Okay, rule of thumb is, if you're unacceptable, I mean, we review that. It goes all the way up to me. And if the consensus is yes, the individual is unacceptable, the person is gone, close of business. And we terminate. See, unacceptable. As a matter of fact, the issue will be, when did we find out this person was unacceptable? Okay. Now, if the person is NI, which is needs improvement, we go back to that person in 6 months. We tell that person, okay, your overall rating is NI, needs improvement. I mean, I'm talking about the overall, the bottom line kanina. Okay. Because you could be good in performance, but needs improvement in methods, but you will average good pa rin, so you're still good overall. But if overall you're NI, we tell you, look, here are the areas you must pay attention to. We want you to improve. We expect you to improve. We'll get back to you every 3 months, but we will get back to you formally in 6 months. If you are still an NI, you're out. And we tell people that literally to warn them. Because we're telling them, we don't want you out. But we promise to fire you if you don't improve. And we have had people go from NI to good, so they survive. Only to go back to NI in their next rating. So we warn them again. They bounce back to good again. And so people are like that. But if you are consistent, you know, you are doing a service to your people. If you're consistent, okay? So...
The other thing is there's a control on ratings. Okay, some managers are generous, some are strict. So how do you balance the two? So what we do, we have a bell-shaped curve, okay? The reality of life. Only a few are unacceptable, if any. Just as only a few are outstanding. And the majority of people will be G, okay? So we take that curve in every department. If in your department 80% of people are outstanding, red flag, something wrong. If in one group all of your people needs improvement, something wrong. We review that individual department. All right? So, because the problem always is, you know, the manufacturing and finance people, because the output is so discrete, they're very strict. The marketing people, because the output is kind of ephemeral, they're kind of generous. Okay? The salespeople, you either make your quota or you don't, so it's very strict. So how can I be fair? How come the marketing people always get these wonderful raises and the manufacturing people are starving? So we do that curve. We test it. We test it. Okay, so these are some of the techniques you'll learn. If you're a head of a group and you have supervisors reporting to you, you will notice it. Some will rate their people easy. Some are tough. And you say, come on, I mean, life is not that concentrated. There's a bell-shaped curve. It doesn't always happen, but by and large, life is a bell-shaped curve. Few outstanding individuals, few lousy ones. The majority are in between. Okay, which brings me to, funny, talking about vision. Did you know that for every 100 expeditions that try to conquer Mount Everest, only 20% make it? And everyone who makes it was interviewed, and they said, we made it because from the start of our planning, we had a vision that we were already in the peak. And because we stuck to that vision, we made it. Okay? People at 50% drop out at base camp. So 15 na lang matitira, no? Another 30% drop at mid-mountain. Okay? Yun ata ang base camp. Only 20% go from there and make it. I just want to share this with you. You don't want to be a mid-mountain climber. You want to go to the peak. And did you know that mediocre is a composite word? Mid is mid, and ochre is another word for mountain. Okay? So mediocrity is you're a halfway mountain climber. You never get to the peak. So you want to make it to the peak. Otherwise, mediocrity is you're a mid-mountain climber. You never make it to the peak. So I saw that. I forgot. I had a note to mention that to you. So maski wala, hindi konektado sa sinasabi ko, sinabi ko na rin. All right. But what I want to tell you is this. Make no mistake about it. The management side of people management is hard work. It's agonizing work. It's structural work. It's painful work. And it takes time. Nothing touchy-feely about it at all. But it is the mark of outstanding leaders. Okay? It's the mark of outstanding people managers. And finally, career direction. So, first one is the purpose clear? That's the mission. Is the direction clear? That's the vision. Are the expectations clear? Job description. Are the standards clear? Performance appraisal. And finally, are career paths clear? This one, this is easy. You don't have to have a specific career path, but it helps retain people if they know where they can go from where they are. Okay? Now, in Del Monte, we had, do I have that in the PowerPoint? Okay, just two departments, okay? Sales and marketing, okay? Entry level in marketing is brand assistant. In sales is key account specialist. And you go from there upwards, okay? In this case, downwards. But my point is, everyone in these departments knew exactly what the next step was. Okay? And by the way, they can zigzag from one department to another if they want to. But the point is, it was clear. So that you want to have I hate to call ministry career, but for lack of a better word, okay? I mean, Christianity is not a career. But you need some, the people will say, where do I go from here? So, but fortunately, every nation actually has a very rich career tracks. I mean, it's as rich as any company I know, probably richer. You could be a pastor, you could be a campus minister, you could be in church operations, you could be in local church planting, world missions, life box, church admin, you name it, okay? The point is, you must be aware of the career tracks in your organization, because when you appraise people, you might see poor fits. There's no fit, but the individual is good. So you don't yank that person out. You ask the question, where else can we put you in the organization? See? Because, and that's the criticalness of performance appraisals, to determine whether the individual is a round peg in a square hole or vice versa. And when you do that, you need to be aware of career tracks in the organization so that you can place people in positions where they can be their best. Any questions? That is way number one. Make sure five structural things are in place. Way number two, I have exactly 2 minutes to say it. Cultivate managerial competence. Could you do the next slide? Okay, we've done this. Next. You know, this was last semester. Promote a general manager mindset. Be accurate when you do strategy. Identify structure, process, people, issues. Be rigorous in your execution. You know, decision making, PPA, project manager. If you were not in those sessions, well, I don't know what to do with you. But we've dealt with those last semester, so we won't deal with them this semester. Okay. All right. That's all I have. Any questions? Yes. No? All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. We will dismiss the admin, and then the campus group will see you back here at 1:30. Carlos, you want to say something?
Hello, Mike.
Okay, what's on?
All right. Well, we did want to say thank you, Pastor Alex. That was awesome. Wonderful. We're looking forward to it again. Next week, there are 4 more to go into 6 sessions. But we did want to take time, and as a admin and campus group, we did want to just celebrate something special, because tomorrow somebody's turning 55, and we did want to say happy birthday. So before the class dismisses, so we want to say happy birthday, Pastor Paul. Can we all sing happy birthday, Pastor Paul? Birthday. We did want to say happy birthday, Pastor Paul. We appreciate you so much.
Woo-hoo! All right. I feel a dance coming on. Okay, thank you very much. Eat some of that cake before you go.